So what we're looking at the moment, and what we started looking at, is the series that we've called The Life Worth Living. The Life Worth Living. And last week, the question I posed to each and every one of us, rhetorical question, I didn't say you should answer me, is, if I were to ask you, what is the kind of life that you would consider worth living in your circumstance? If I came up to you and I said, what would really be a worthwhile life for you as an individual? Well, I said that we would have varying responses depending on a number of things. Some people might say, depending if they're like really young and they've been watching a lot of X Factor, they might say, I want to become a pop star. I want to travel. I want to be on every show on BBC. If I achieve that, wow, that would be a life that's worth living. Some other person might say, you know, I don't want all that. I just want my life to be peaceful. I don't want any hassle at all. I just want to be able to do, you know, mind my own business, be healthy, be so on and so forth. So I guess what I was just trying to highlight last week in asking that question is for us to have a think and to just imagine what kind of life would be worthwhile for you. What kind of life would be worthwhile for you so that after, you know, a number of years, maybe you're like 120 years old, if you want to be, and you can look back and say, yes, I have lived a worthwhile life. What would that be? Now, the other thing we also did was that it's okay to have all those aspirations. You want to be this, you want to be that. However, there is a life that is worth living that will transcend all the plans that you might have. Why? Because we mentioned that it's God's plan. So God's plan might include all those things, but it's primary. And is as we live in the plan that God has for us, that we can now look back at the end of our lives. Or not even at the end of our lives. We can look at our lives now and project and say, okay, you know what? This is the kind of life that I want to live. That life is according to God's plan, because God knows you and I. He formed us before we were born. So he knows exactly, for every individual, the life that be worth living for you. So that's what we looked at last week. We looked at the fact that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we have a choice in that plan. God's not going to force you to do anything, even though he's God. So we made that point last week. If you want to listen to that series, it's on our website. Today, I'm going to turn to something slightly different about the life that is worth living. So in the first part, we saw that following God's plan for our lives will make your life worth living as an individual. The other thing we want to look at today is this. The other thing that will make your life worth living as a Christian, the other thing that will make my life worth living, is knowing God. Knowing God. Now, anytime I mention knowing God, not anytime, there are times I mention knowing God, and sometimes people are like, oh, Pastor, why don't you teach us something more theologically deep? Teach us about the third heavens, the three heavens. Teach us about revelations. Teach us about the meaning of the horse rider, the black one, the red one. Teach us something, you know, which is great. We have people who can do that. I've got Brother Flo here, Daddy Clive. But those things are good. But knowing God is the fundamental of life. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because you can know all those things about the horseman. You can know every other thing. Those things are great. But if we miss the very foundation of this life, which is knowing God, then all those things, even though we know them, might not really make our lives worth living fully. Knowing God. Now, what does it mean to know God? We'll look at that in a minute. Jesus said something which I found to be really, really, really fundamental. The first thing we want to look at is John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus made a point there that if you don't really look at it intensively, you might just miss the point and just think it's a phrase amongst other things that Jesus said, but it is so fundamental. Jesus said something about eternal life. He said, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When we think about eternal life, I believe sometimes we think, okay, eternal life is when I die and I go to be with God forever. Now, there's that part. But Jesus was telling us, making a point here to say, you know what? Eternal life starts now. Eternal life doesn't start when you have passed out of your body and you've gone to be with God. No. Eternal life starts now. Now, what did Jesus say eternal life is? Did he say eternal life is knowing, being able to quote 30 scriptures per minute? That's great if you can do that. Did he say eternal life is attending church every Sunday? That's great if you can do that. Did he say eternal life is doing good to humanity? That's great. We should do that. No. He didn't say that. He said, this is eternal life. He didn't say, this is part of eternal life. He didn't say, if you do this, you can have eternal life. No. He said, this is eternal life. That they, us, may know the only true God and Jesus who he sent. So this is quite an interesting thing, that God sees eternal life as knowing him. Now, if we look at the next thing, so we see that the first thing is that knowing God is so important, so fundamental, that God says this is eternal life. Now, if I move on from there, there was a man, in a very famous man in the Bible, Apostle Paul. Now, let me tell you something about Apostle Paul that you might already know. This was a man that went all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. God used him to write at least a third of the New Testament Gospels. This man went from city to city, from town to town. He was flogged. He was imprisoned. And you know, the prisons of those days, not like the prisons you have now that you can choose your menu. And if they don't give you proper warm toast and all that, you can reject and say, God, I don't want that. I want toast, bacon, and don't make sure I get it before my next TV show starts. Prison in those days wasn't like that. It was like dark, dingy, wet. There were no toilet facilities. And you were just dumped there. He went through that. This man was shipwrecked. The Bible tells us that there were times that he was shipwrecked and he was floating on the ocean, on a board, for days. This was a man that went through a lot. This was a man that they flogged him. Everything they did, this man was relentless. He said, you know what? This gospel is going to go out, irrespective. Now, you will have thought that this man that did so much in the kingdom of God, this man that has, you know, spread the gospel so relentless, you will have thought that at the end of his life or during his life, he will have said, Christ, there's something that I want to do. There is something that is so magnificent. I want to make sure I reach Africa. I want to make sure I reach the Congo. I want to make sure I reach Martinique. I haven't gotten there yet. There's so much that I have to do to make my life worth living, to give me the life to really give me the crowning thing in my career as an apostle. That's what I want to do. No. Do you know what the apostle said? The life that is worth living. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. So we're saying the life that is worth living is knowing God. We're also saying that there is something else about the life that is worth living. And we see it here. If you give me the NIV version, please. Paul said this. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. This was what the apostle said. He said, after all these things, there's something that I want to know. I want to know Christ. This is a man that God used, he went, God took him to heaven. So many things. God healed several people, but he didn't say, you know what, I want to do more of this, although he did. There was one thing that he understood, and I want us to understand this morning. He said, there's one thing. This is eternal life. This is my eternal life. And what is that? That I may know Christ. Do you see what I mean? So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that the life that is worth living primarily starts with knowing or starting the journey to know Christ, to know God. So knowing God is not a one-time thing. It's a process. It's like, for example, you have a friend. You've known this friend for a long time. There are still so many things that you probably might not know about that friend. But as you go along with them in the journey of life, you now realize that, wow, so you can cook that really nice smelling beef thing in sauce. You can make, you know, you discover new things about them. That's the same thing with God. There's so many things that we can discover about God that we don't know yet. So we've said that knowing God is eternal life. And even Apostle Paul was so intent on doing that. So that's the first thing. Now, the next thing I want to say, knowing that, okay, this is eternal life, knowing that God, knowing God is important. The next thing I want to say is this. Do you know that God wants you to know him? You know, oftentimes when we think about God, I believe, we might think that God's up there in heaven, we're down here, he's minding his business, we're minding our business. If we misbehave, he will crack the whip. And sometimes we think that's how God is. But the truth of the matter is this. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. Let me see. God really wants you to know him. So what I'm saying is this. The second thing is that God wants us to have the trust that he actually wants us to know him, and that he's not just there in heaven saying, try harder. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says here, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So this is saying that for God, to know God, we must believe, first of all, that God wants us to know him, that he exists. Now, the challenge is this. We don't see God physically. You can see your friend who sat beside you. You can see your neighbor, your uncle, auntie, so on and so forth. But God is invincible. How do we know him? Do you understand? The first thing he says is this. Believe that he exists and he actually wants you to know him. So we can know God personally. So that God is not just a distant person there and I'm here. This individual on the earth. No. So what am I saying here? So the first thing I said is the fact that knowing God is so fundamental, and that's what constitutes eternal life. The second thing is this. God wants you and I to know him personally, not just from a distance. Do you get what I mean? Now, so the question now comes, how do I know God? What do I need to do? You know, what do I need to do? We'll go through a number of things which I believe are really, really simple. And I believe that God makes everything really, really simple. He doesn't complicate matters at all, even if we do. So how do I know God? How do I begin the journey of knowing God, as he says in the Bible? Well, a number of things. The first thing is this. We begin to know God through his word. Now, what I mean by that is this. Setting time apart to read the Bible. If you look at Psalm 63 verse 1, Psalm 63 verse 1, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. He said, God, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So this is David expressing something. He was like, you know what? I really want to spend time with God. And, you know, David, very poetic, very expressive. And he compares his longing for God as being in a parched and dry land where there's no water. And he's seeking for God. He wants to really, really know God. Do you understand? We begin to know God as we spend time reading the Bible. Now, I'm going to put a PS there. We can read the Bible as a, how should I put it? As a historical factual book. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just read, okay, Jesus did this, he did this, this. That's great. We can read the Bible in that way. Do you understand? It's just like, for example, if a very good friend of mine that I haven't seen in, let's say, 20 years, maybe we went to the same high school or something, he writes a letter to me, and we used to be really close friends. I haven't seen him at all. Now it's email, but I'm just going to use the analogy of letters here. Let's imagine that I'm on a desert island with no internet connection. It's only physical post. Now you can grab a seat. So let's imagine that I'm on an island with no internet connection. So desert island, the only thing that happens is that I get post once a month. And I'm looking forward to this post. And my friend whom I haven't seen in 20 years, my really good friend, sends a letter to me. And I open the letter and I read it and it's like, wow. Pastor Benson, remember when we were in school together, we used to, you know, eat loads of ice cream and all that together. You never gave me some of yours, although I gave you my... So the way I would read that letter will be different from maybe someone who just picked up the letter casually. Maybe they saw it on my bed and they just picked up the letter and said, oh, this is an interesting piece of literature. And they just read it, okay, this guy sent some ice cream. Oh, what does that mean? It's a bit interesting. The way they would read it is slightly different. Why? Because to them, it's just like a, you know, what's this factual? I mean, this ice cream business, what does that mean? I mean, and there's no connection. Why am I saying this? We can read the Bible in the same way as well, where we get the facts of the Bible, but where we don't connect to it. Do you get what I mean? Now, do you know that you can connect to the Bible the same way that I've described this friend of mine writing a letter to me? Now, what does that mean? That means the difference in those two circumstances is this. One person reads the letter with a connection saying, you know what, this is my friend that has written this letter to me. And they engage it from that perspective. So it makes sense. It's interesting. It's exciting. Do you understand? So we can connect to the Bible that way. As you open the Bible and you read it and you begin to think to yourself, you know what? This is God writing to me. This is God saying certain things to me. And I can tell you one thing. If you and I engage the Word of God that way, something will begin to happen. There is something that will leap out from the pages of this Bible that will begin to communicate the heart of God to you. And if you do it long enough, you will begin to open the Bible and it will appear as if it's God speaking to you directly. So it goes beyond the point where it's just a letter to someone, you know, written to someone, you know, who's, do you get what I mean? We're looking at knowing God here. So I'm saying that we can begin to know God as we engage the Word of God, as we set time apart to read the Word of God, but not reading it as a distant piece of literature. No, reading it with the heart that, you know what, this is God really talking to me as an individual. All right? So we can do that. Now, how do we know God? We're looking at the fact that the life that is worth living is one that involves knowing God. We've said, knowing God is eternal life, one. We've said that God really wants us to know him. And we're now looking at, how do I know God? We've said if you read the Bible, but read it with the heart, that it is God writing a personal letter to you. then something will begin to happen. You'll begin to know God as He is. Do you understand? Now, I'll just make a couple of more points around how do we know God. The other way we know God, and I think I'll just stop with this one, is we know God as we come together as Christians. There's a portion in the Bible that says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the other way we know God is when we gather together like this, we, you know, after the service, you know, I like the tea and the coffee, and we talk. And someone comes up and says, you know, this, what does the Bible say about this? This is what I'm thinking about. Or I'm going through this particular thing in my life. What do you think? Then that person can speak a word of encouragement from the Bible. And it might be God actually putting those things in their heart to speak those things to you. So as we come together as a church like this, you know, maybe it's like slightly formal like this, or for our Bible studies, or when we go out, we have lunch somewhere, or we go on a picnic as the body of Christ, as a local assembly. As we do that, something begins to happen to us as well. We begin to know more and more about God. Do you understand? So I'm just going to stop there today. So what am I saying today? I'm saying that the life that is worth living is a life that primarily starts with knowing God. So we've said that's eternal life. Eternal life is not just life starting when we die or when we go to heaven. No, eternal life starts right now. Do you understand? Number one, we've also said that God actually wants us to know Him. He's not just a distant person there. And the third thing we've looked at is the fact that it's so simple. How do we start? We start as we engage the Word of God, the Bible, and we read it as God's personal letter to us. And as we gather like this together and as we celebrate God together, God does something in our lives. Amen. I'm going to stop there this morning, and I'm just going to ask that we all just rise together and just pray.